The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
It's 9/11/2021, and most of the games are over for the day. Just as I will do every week, I watch as many on TV copy as I can, keep up, make notes, make adjustments. But the real adjustments and the real notes of what really happened can't come until I study the film. And I will start those studies late tomorrow afternoon when they come out. But right now, let me give you the quick bird's eye view of what happened so far on Saturday until about 9 p.m. Eastern time Saturday night. Let's start with the Georgia Bulldogs, the Georgia-Florida rivalry. Georgia played UAB. UAB always has a great defense. Bill Clark, one of the best defensive coaches in all of football. So I expect that game to be a game that Georgia will go in and they will struggle a little bit, very simply because even though they've got a lot better players than UAB, UAB plays damn good defense against whoever they play. Doesn't really matter who it is. They play great defense. The only chance that Georgia had to walk in and to just throw missile after missile after missile and score touchdown after touchdown, bomb after bomb, was if they played a different quarterback. And they did. Stetson Bennett played. Starting quarterback Daniels was out with an injury. Stetson Bennett came in. And let me tell you something. If Georgia wants to guarantee themselves to win a national championship, let's start this thing off. I'm telling you right now, Stetson Bennett is the guy to do it. I recruited him out of high school. He was special. I was hoping like hell that nobody else offered him. And really nobody did. No other Division I team did. I offered him at Middle Tennessee, but I knew he didn't want to come. He thought of himself much better than us. He thought he was a big-time player. If you walk in and you look at him and you look at him eyeball to eyeball, then you just think that he's not. But if you watch him play football, he's special. He's a gunslinger, quick release. He ain't afraid of nothing. He don't care. You can rip his ass, chew his ass. He still believes he can walk out there the next time and that he's better than anybody on the field. Georgia, you want to win a national championship. You want to finally get over the hump. You want to finally win the SEC. I can tell you right now, Stetson Bennett is your best quarterback. He just let him play. Understand every now and then he's going to screw up, but guess what? Your defense is so good it doesn't matter. Let him play because you're going to need to score 30 or 40 or 45 points somewhere during this season, especially against Alabama in the championship game. So if you want to win it, if you ain't afraid, then play him. Quit being just a defensive coach and worried about protecting the defense. Let the gunslinger play because I'm going to tell you, that kid is good. Back to the rivalry game, Florida. Florida played South Florida. They won 42-20. South Florida is terrible. As I saw them last week. Not a very good football team at all. Florida still has a problem in the fact that their quarterback still just don't know if he's going to be good enough or not. I don't believe Florida's as talented as they have been. Obviously, after watching them and watching Georgia, Georgia's got better players. I picked Florida early because of the coaching, but Georgia's so much more talented that if they don't screw it up, Florida can't beat them. It's the only way that they can do it. But Florida's struggling. The quarterback threw two picks today, so they still got a problem there. Alabama, Auburn, what did you learn today? Didn't learn a damn thing from either one of them, and neither did anybody else. You can't judge anything by what went on today with the two teams that they played. Both of them played FCS teams. Both of them played teams that if they played them 10,000 times, they could name the score every time. So there's nothing to learn from that for that rivalry. Kentucky Wildcats were playing Missouri. I got to watch most of the first half, and I'm going to tell you something. Kentucky, they got an offense. The offensive coordinator, whatever they paid him, they need to pay him a whole lot more money because the NFL is going to come after him. He's sharp. He knows what he's doing. He's got good players. They've had good players. They've had good players there for a long time. Coach Stoops has been recruiting the hell out of them. But they got a guy that knows what the hell he's doing on offense. They got a chance to make a run. Right now against Missouri, again, they may lose the game tonight. I don't know what's going to happen in the second half or late in the second quarter. But I can tell you this, every Wildcat fan, go buy tickets. Go to every game. Yell like crazy. Because the big blue wall that's been built there is pretty damn sturdy right now. And you got the right guy calling plays, pulling the trigger for that offense right now. And they've got some special players. The quarterback, Levis, is unique. He's got a big arm. He can run. Wandale Robinson can play for anybody in the world. He's an NFL guy that makes plays. He's dynamic. And so right now, the Cats have got everything that they need. Just don't get afraid if they throw a couple of picks, if they turn the ball over. Don't go into a hole and start getting all pissy being a defensive coordinator, Coach Stoops. Let the guy play. Let him make the calls, and you're going to have a chance to win. You're going to have a chance to win the East if you can just keep getting a little bit better, and hopefully you win tonight. Playing the Cardinals, the rivalry game against Louisville, what are you going to learn from Louisville tonight? Nothing. They're playing Eastern Kentucky University. Eastern is just okay. And as a 1AA team or FCS team, so you're not going to learn anything from that game. They're ahead by two or three touchdowns when I left the game. South Carolina pulls off a big win against East Carolina today, 20-17, and that says enough for you right there. East Carolina's not very good. South Carolina has to come, kick a field goal in the last play of the game to win the game. So what does that tell us? South Carolina is still not a very good SEC football team. So the rivalry game between them and Clemson, Clemson's defense still lights out. They still got problems at quarterback. I said it last week, and nothing changed today to change my mind on that. As far as that rivalry is concerned, South Carolina-Clemson, not even a game. Clemson will win it 3, 4, 5, 6 touchdowns. If the quarterback gets better, they can beat them 40 points. If the quarterback doesn't get better, they'll win by 3 touchdowns. LSU, game's just barely near the end of the first quarter, start of the second quarter, playing McNeese. Not going to learn a whole lot from that ball game unless it's close, and then you'll learn that LSU really is going to struggle and not be great. But the rivalry game for LSU against Texas A&M, what can you learn from that? A&M had to have a last-minute drive to beat Colorado 10-7. Obviously, A&M's defense is talented. A&M's offense is talented. They're just not good. They got good players, got good receivers. I told you last week the quarterback was a problem, and he got hurt. The other quarterback had to play, and he made some plays along the way, but they're just not very good on offense. And I never have appreciated the way that Coach Fisher coaches quarterbacks. All these guys on TV, they like it. They like seeing him just chew their ass out and rip them up and down. I think you have to be really careful with quarterbacks when you do that to them. And a lot of times I think it's just because, you know, it's something that you've done wrong. You've made it too complicated for them, too sophisticated for them. And I think it makes it very difficult to be a good quarterback under him and under his system. Obviously, he's had some good ones We all get lucky every now and then, have a good one that can overcome our coaching. But Texas A&M, as I said last week, not impressed, still not impressed. I think they're the most overrated team in America. They got all the five stars. They got the coach they're paying all the money to, and they don't. None of them are living up to their billing, but they are 2-0, so that's all that matters right now. Notre Dame and their rivalry with USC, they had to come late and beat Toledo 32-29. That tells you enough right there. They still got problems. They're not an elite defense. They're not. They never have been an elite offense, but they're not an elite defense anymore. And so Notre Dame, I think everybody can relax that they're not going to make the playoffs this year, even though, again, they're 2-0. So you always want to look and see who makes the biggest jump between game one and game two, because that's where coaching really takes place. How much better can you get between those two games? So USC's got a late game tonight. UCLA, no game at all for that rivalry. Oregon played Ohio State today. Classic ball game. Great game. Oregon goes to Ohio State, beats Ohio State, shocks the world. Everybody says shocks the world. Ohio State was favored by a couple of touchdowns in that game, but I could have never bet that game either way. I thought Ohio State would win the game, but I didn't think that they could blow them out because I just didn't know how good the quarterback was. However, the quarterback played really well, made a lot of plays, threw the ball well, played well in a big game. Problem was the defense got the ball stuck up their ass. Oregon took the ball and ran it down their throat. Had over 500 yards of offense, but Ohio State had around 600 yards of offense. So neither team was able to stop the other team. The problem was is that Oregon ended up getting more points out of it, and Ohio State, to take that loss at home, means that they're going to have to win out, win the championship. They can't slip up. But congrats to the Pac-12. Two big wins this year already. UCLA kicking LSU's ass. And now Oregon going to Ohio State and winning that game. So in their rivalry game that they have against Oregon State, you know, right now I picked Oregon last week. Oregon State plays late tonight, so I won't be able to have that game until late tonight. But Oregon has much better players than Oregon State does. And as I said last week, it would be a 2-3-4 touchdown game right now. The big game, Cal-Stanford. We'll go with Cal first. Stanford plays later tonight, so I won't have an evaluation of them until tomorrow. Cal goes to TCU. They played each other in the bowl game a couple of years ago, and neither one of them could score. And this game was just the complete opposite. Cal's defense is their mark. That's what makes them go. And they got their ass whipped today. TCU ran the ball for over 250 yards, had well over 500 yards of offense against them. Cal responded and played better on offense, especially in the first half. Threw a bunch of missiles, looked like a completely different offense. Went for two, down 34-32. Ran a strange play, just handed the ball off and ran a dive play for the two-point play, which if it works, you're a genius. If not, you're a moron. I've been both, so I understand making that play call, but it didn't work, and so they lose the game 34-32. When your offense at Cal averages 8 yards a play on the road against a good TCU team and you can't win, tells you it's probably going to be a long year, because the defense obviously could not step up to the plate today for whatever reason. Texas-Oklahoma. Oklahoma blows out a really bad Western Carolina team. That game's still going on. It's a horrible game. You're going to learn absolutely nothing from that, but you can certainly learn from Texas. When I came in here to start this podcast, Texas was behind 16-0. I think it was 16-7 when I started this podcast. I was able to watch a lot of that game, TV copy again. I'll give you the good evaluation later, but I was able to watch a lot of that game. And it's like I told you last week, if you're a Texas fan, you got problems. You're just not very good. You don't play real hard. Don't have great players, got okay players, and just doesn't look like anybody that would be inspiring. So again, as I said last week, Oklahoma, Texas, they'll play harder, play better. But right now, Oklahoma is a much better football team than Texas. Michigan, Ohio State, I already talked about Ohio State. Michigan had just started their game, so I won't be able to give much about that. The big thing from Ohio State today, quarterback got better, defense got worse. Defense got their ass handed to them. Anytime you give up well over 200 yards rushing, you got some problems. Army, Navy. Great day for Army and Navy and Air Force. All three of them played today, honoring America's fallen, honoring Americans' heroes, 20 years since 9/11. And Army came out and looked like they were just going to absolutely blow Western Kentucky off the field. Going into the fourth quarter, they were ahead 35-14, so you would have thought there would have been no game. Got to take my hat off to Western. Like I told you last week, Western's quarterback, he is big time, unbelievable. And let me tell you guys something, and I'll talk about Western a little bit more later, but the transfer portal made Western Kentucky have a chance to have a great team, and I'll wait and go on that in a minute. Army looked awesome early. They just struggled against a great quarterback. Defensively, they struggled against a great quarterback. Not a good quarterback, a great quarterback. They still shut the run down. But, man, they threw the ball all over the place. So it'll be interesting to see who the rest of their schedule is. But they ended up winning 38-35. Western made a big comeback at the end. And then Navy lost to Air Force 23-3. And so, again, like I told you last week, Navy's got problems. If Army and Navy played tomorrow, Army would win 3-4 to 5 touchdowns. North Carolina State. North Carolina was ahead 24-10 over Georgia State at half. I looked at the stats. I haven't been able to see the game, but the one thing that stuck out like a sore thumb is that North Carolina still cannot run the football. The first half, they couldn't run the ball against Georgia State. That's not a good sign for them because that's what made them so good last year. Yeah, they could throw it. Yeah, they got a quarterback that's a first-round guy, supposedly. But the bottom line is, if you can't run the football, you got problems. The good thing is their rival game, it's against North Carolina State. And I just watched the first half of North Carolina State, Mississippi State. NC State's behind 3-14. And 7 of those points came on a kickoff return for Mississippi State. The game is basically even. North Carolina State's offense is just bad. They just struggle with everything that they do. It's not like they're playing the New York Giants defense. They're playing Mississippi State's defense. And they still struggle to score, to get the ball. So, right now, you know, that game, North Carolina State, I'm going to wait and make a prediction on that later after I've watched film, as I will with all of these. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Ole Miss was playing Austin Peay. You're not going to learn anything from that game. They're going to win 4 or 5 touchdowns. Mississippi State, first half against NC State, defense looked really good. Offense just looked the same as they're probably going to look all year. If somebody gives them the looks that they want, they're going to move up and down the field. If somebody can sit back, play zone, get pressure with 4, they're going to struggle to score. If you play man on them, they're going to win, make some big plays every now and then. Right now, Ole Miss, again, I would pick Ole Miss to win that game, a couple of touchdowns. The 100 miles of hate, Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee. I learned a lot from that game today with Western. They played UT Martin last week, and I didn't think Martin was very good. Martin is playing really well against Samford right now. I wasn't real impressed with Western's defense last week. I thought Western's defense played really hard today against Army, much more physical. They couldn't stop Army, but it wasn't because they wasn't getting after it. It wasn't because they wasn't playing hard. And the big thing with Western Kentucky University, they have got the greatest transfer portal in the history of the transfer portal. What they did, this is brilliant. All you coaches out there that listen to this, you need to do this. They took the offensive coordinator, who then took the quarterback and 3 of his receivers. And guess what? They're damn good. All of them are. Quarterback's going to be an NFL guy. One of the receivers is going to be an NFL guy. And the other guys are good. So you want to get your team better in 1 year? Hire the coach, and he'll bring all of his good players. Genius. Brilliant. Hats off to Western Kentucky for having enough sense to do it. But they look much better today than they did against UT Martin. They had a lot of fight in them. They competed all the way through till the end of that ball game and lost at 38-35 against what I think is a top 20 team and Army. Middle Tennessee lost at Virginia Tech 14-35. I thought that their defense played really well early in the game. They played really hard early in the game. The offense struggled, and when the offense couldn't score, the offense had a good drive to cut it to 14-7. And then before half, Virginia Tech got another score. And once Virginia Tech got up, I didn't think that Middle's defense competed as hard as what they had been. Middle got a score late in the game when Virginia Tech subbed a bunch of guys, and Middle subbed a bunch of guys. And so if the defense subs a bunch of guys and you sub a bunch of guys and you go down and score, it means something. So I thought that Middle's backup quarterback, Chase Cunningham, I thought he did a great job. And then Mike DeLillo only got one play in the game that I saw as a quarterback and made a great run off of that. So I think it's going to be a little bit interesting because not that the starting quarterback isn't a good player, but man, you know, the other two guys played well when they came in. So, you know, that's a good problem to have, but it is a problem. And I thought that, you know, Middle, I think that Middle has a chance to have a really good football team. And I think that coming out of this game, they're not going to be distraught. Yeah, they're going to be upset that they lost. But when they go back and look at this, they did some really dumb stuff. The defensive late hit on the quarterback, I saw that a bunch of times in my years there at Middle. That was stupid and cost them a chance to stay in that ball game. Kept a drive alive for Virginia Tech that they scored a touchdown on. They got to get that stuff cleaned up. But I thought that they got a chance. They got a chance to make a run, and I was proud of how hard they played. I thought their players played hard most of that ball game. And so, what does that mean for the 100 miles of hate, for that rivalry game? Who would win if they played tomorrow? I picked Middle last week, and after this week, after watching Western. Watching both teams play, I think the game would be really, really, really close. And the one thing that would go in Middle's favor is that Coach Schaefer's really good against teams that are four wide and five wide spread stuff. And Western is really struggling to run the ball. And Coach Schaefer would like that quarterback up some. But with that being said, Western is really good in the screen game, and they would catch him on some of the zero blitzes and hit him for some big plays. So it'd be a great ball game, and I'm going to stick with Middle right now as winning that ball game, but it would be an incredibly close game. So I will have all week long, like I did last week, I will have these games broken down into great detail with all the nooks and crannies and all the things that nobody else is going to tell you. And there's going to be teams that today I said played well, that when I go back and look and I watch the film for a couple of hours, I'm going to find out they didn't play well. And there'll be somebody else that played poorly, I think, and I'll go back and watch the film and find out that but for a couple of things, you know, that they could have played much better and could have won a football game. So with that being said, we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to CoachTF.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. Three, join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast or simply download from our CoachTF.com/podcast. Four, give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.